Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson today, Matthew 4, as the crowds are gathering around Jesus. We pray. Lord, you promise that when your word is taught, proclaimed, it will never return to you empty, but will accomplish all that you desire. So again today, we pray as your word is read and taught and proclaimed, you would accomplish in us, all of us, what you desire. Give us understanding and give us faith and draw us to you, for you are the light of the world. Increase our faith. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do you like a crowd? A big, huge crowd? Well, most of us normally do not like a crowd. A crowd can be noisy. A crowd can be rowdy. A crowd can be obnoxious. You have to wait in line. You can't find your seat. I wish there wasn't such a crowd. At the end of our gospel lesson, Matthew 4, we have a huge, huge crowd from all over the place. They're from Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee, the Decapolis, that's way up north, Syria, beyond the Jordan, Gentile area. A huge crowd gathered around Jesus. And my theme today is, dear friend, be a part of this crowd. That's our theme. Be a part of this crowd. Often we heard from our moms and dads, don't follow the crowd, and that's often true. Do follow this crowd, the Matthew 4 crowd. There are really two crowds in Matthew 4. One is talked about, one isn't. You are part of one of the two crowds. One crowd gathers around Christ. They want Christ. They want to hear about Christ, learn from Christ, touch Christ. They want salvation, life in the name of Jesus. They're there in a hurry around Christ. The other crowd is not talked about. They're the larger crowd of people that haven't come to Jesus. They heard about him, but they were too busy. They didn't really believe he could help them much anyway. And so they all stayed home. And so really, which crowd are you in? Let me say four things about this marvelous crowd of Matthew 4. Be a part of the Matthew 4 crowd. Four things about this crowd. First of all, we note as we read the text, this crowd is helpless. They are a helpless group of people. As the scripture says, they're in darkness. The shadow of death is upon them. They're stumbling around this crowd before they meet Jesus. Stumbling around, searching for hope, life, peace, joy, happiness, purpose. They're in darkness, a helpless crowd. We have some names of some of the crowd in the text. We have Peter. He's the first one mentioned. Jesus calls Peter to the crowd. Bumbling, impulsive, loudmouth Peter. He's a helpless loser in the end by himself, a fisherman. Andrew, his brother, probably not a whole lot better than Peter. They're outcasts. They're unclean. They're fishermen. They can't go to the temple and worship because they're unclean. Maybe they can't even go to the synagogue at times. They're unclean. You can't come. You're a loser, you're a helpless, you're a sinner. Get away. Then you have James and John. Later in the Gospels, Jesus calls them the sons of thunder, which means they have a temper. These are angry young men. Helpless sinners, Jesus calls to the crowd. Then you have at the end of the text a larger crowd of unnamed people, but they're all helpless. They have sicknesses, every disease, every affliction among the people. They're sick, they have demons, epileptics, paralytics, all sorts of sick, diseased people that are helpless. No doctor can help them. There's no medicine. There's no hope. A helpless group of people. A helpless crowd in darkness. And when we hear this story, may we say, first of all, I fit right into this crowd. We don't say, well, I'm glad I'm better than all those people. I got life by the tail. I'm so good. God's so lucky to have me. No, we read this and say, I fit right into that crowd. A helpless sinner, because I sin and I sin a lot. And I have my sicknesses, my diseases, my trials, my tribulations. I fit right into that crowd. I'm humble. I was greeting the children after chapel this week at school. The children walk out and I say, God bless you, and greet them. And one little girl, probably a second grader, walked out and she asked me, Pastor, you think the Broncos will win the Super Bowl? And I said, this is my type of kid. She knows football at the second grade level. All right, we're teaching something good in this school anyway. And I said, well, yeah, I hope Peyton Manning wins. And yeah, so do I, Pastor. Then in my egotism, I asked a stupid question. I said, well, hey, do you think that Pastor Buescher can throw the ball as good as Peyton Manning? And you know what she said? No. You're too old, and you can't run fast so they would tackle you. Thank you, child, for putting me in my place. Pets tried for years and never got me in my place. A second grader got my place with a few words. This text puts us in our place. Helpless sinners and outcasts, sick, diseased, no one can really help. We're humbled, but there's much more. Secondly, this crowd's in a hurry. This is a hurried crowd. What are they in a hurry to do? They're in a great, great hurry to be with Jesus, to hear Jesus, to touch Jesus, to be in the presence of the Son of God, the light of the world. They can't wait to be with Jesus. Two times we read the word immediately. Jesus says to Andrew and Peter, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately, they're fishing. They leave the net in the water. They leave the fish in the water. They leave all the boat. They leave everything. And they come follow immediately. They're in a hurry. Forget all that. They've been catching fish their whole life. Now they've been caught. They've been caught by the love of God. They've been caught by the net of His mercy. And they're brought in by the light of the world. And they come immediately. Then the same thing to James and John. And immediately, again, two times the word immediately. They leave their father, they leave their family, leave the fishing equipment, everything. And they go follow Jesus. They're in a hurry. He's the light of the world. He's my life now. My joy, my hope. And then the crowd. At the end of the gospel, this huge crowd from all over. They come hundreds of miles. Jerusalem, Judea, we understand that. That's kind of the local area. Although that's south. He's in Galilee to the north. 60, 70 miles. To the Decapolis, miles to the north. Syria to the north. They're from all over. And they come to be with Jesus. They're in a hurry. None of them say, I'll do it later. None of them say, I'm too busy right now. They must come and be with Jesus for life, hope, joy, peace, forgiveness, salvation. He's their good shepherd. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's their everything. They got to have Him, and nothing will stand in the way. May we be a part of the Matthew 4 crowd. The urgency of salvation. Not the laziness of, all fit into my schedule. What about you? When I have come this past week, I come into my office from outside here, my office here, and I come about 8 o'clock-ish, and what do I immediately do this past week? What did I immediately do? Immediately, I did not go to the bathroom. I didn't check my phone messages. I didn't run down and talk to Cece, my secretary. I didn't run to the kitchen and get a cup of coffee. I already had my coffee. What did I immediately do? I went and stood by my wall heater, is what I did. It's cold out there. I'm tired of these polar vortexes, whatever they're called. All right? But I immediately threw up, I kept my coat on, stood, I got a wall heater right against this wall here, and stood there. It's cold out there. It's cold out there, folks, and I'm not just talking about weather. It's a cold world that lacks a lot of love and mercy for anyone, let alone you. Here we have the warmth of the love of God. To hear you're forgiven of your sins. Maybe nobody else forgives you, God does. To hear that God will never leave you or forsake you. Maybe other people, where they could care less about you, He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Maybe nobody else really loves you. He loves you unconditionally and always will. Nobody else cares who you are. God knows who you are. He's written your name in heaven in your baptism. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are mentioned by name. These were no-name men Who cared about Peter, Andrew, James, and John? No one knew their names. They're some dirty fishermen. Now their names are written in heaven. They've been called by Jesus. Oh, the warm, warm love of God I pray we run to. As a Christian, either you follow or you wallow or you're hollow. Which are you? Followers by faith are drawn to Christ. We can't get enough of Christ. Word, sacrament, worship, prayer. I love him. He's my life. I'm drawn immediately. That's those who follow. But too many of us wallow. We wallow in the sin and filth of the world like a pig and enjoy that too much. And then others are very hollow. We say all the right things. Yeah, I believe I'm a Christian. But we're hollow in here. We really have no faith. We just say it. I'm sure a part of this crowd or a crowd that wasn't there, I'm sure a lot of people weren't hearing about Jesus. Said, we're going to go see Jesus too. We're going to go see him tomorrow. We're going to go see Jesus. We have sick people. We're going to go see him. But they never got around to seeing him. Hollow, just words. What about you? The crowd is helpless. The crowd's in a hurry. Be a part of this crowd. Thirdly, don't miss the obvious, the crowd is healed. This is a crowd that doesn't go home disappointed. Lots of crowds at Neyland Stadium go home disappointed. And lots of crowds at Thompson Bowling go home disappointed. We came for a win, but we lost. And that's the way crowds are. None of these people, not a one of them, goes home disappointed. Peter, Andrew, James, and John are healed. They're healed in here. They're forgiven of their sins. They hear Jesus says, come, follow me. Come? No one ever said come to them. People said bum or scum, but come? God says, come to me, an impure, unclean fisherman? Yes, come. You're forgiven. They're healed in here. Washed, cleansed, forgiven. Children of God, names written in heaven. And the crowd, wow, what a text. Is there any disease Jesus doesn't heal? Paralytics, epileptics, the dying, the demons, they're all healed completely, immediately healed right on the spot. He doesn't give out any prescriptions. Come back and see me later. We didn't get it all. Immediate, full, complete healing for the crowd. It's a picture of the last day. The end of the text is a picture of heaven. When we are all gathered, the crowd of saints are gathered around Christ, and we are healed body and soul completely. Glory, no more suffering, no more death, no more pain, no more disease. We're full, complete people again in paradise. All in Jesus. With Jesus, you never go home disappointed. Unless you don't want forgiveness and eternal life, then I guess you do. But that's on you. I read in the paper this week where our wonderful politicians in Nashville, you know what they're arguing about that struck me? And this is an article in the paper. They're having an argument about whether a worker has to take a 30-minute lunch break or not during their lunchtime. Now, this is important stuff that lawmakers need to argue about. Do you have to take a 30-minute lunch break at lunch, or can you save it for the end of the day? Oh, my, let's sweat over that one. Let's have numerous laws written over that one. These are the trivial, stupid things that we people argue about. And then you read Matthew 4. And this is the one that really gives a break. The one who really gives rest. Rest for the soul, eternal rest, and gives you a feast of his body and blood and his holy word. Healed, forgiven. I think of Jesus' words, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what, church? I will give you rest. This is rest. This is a break in Jesus. And last of all, note that the crowd is huge. It's a big crowd. How in the world did all these people get there? From all over Gentile area. How did it happen? Did it just magically happen? No. Did angels go out and tell people? No. How did it happen? It tells you in the text. People, these are the unsung heroes of this text. The unsung heroes of the crowd. People went out that knew Jesus. Maybe it was Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and many others. They went out and told people about Jesus. And then they brought people to Jesus. Those are the two things you see in the text. They told about Jesus out there, and then they brought the sick, the lame, the paralyzed to Jesus, which is even a greater effort to bring someone. That's how you get a big crowd. Go tell of the name of Jesus. And then bring someone to church. Go pick them up in your car, knock on the door, ring the doorbell and say, come to church, and bring them to class and sit with them in class, mentor them, be with them, tell and bring. That's how you get a big crowd. And they are the unsung heroes of this gospel, unmentioned. And may that be you and I, working in the world, telling and bringing people to Jesus. There's a big event this coming Saturday. I know next Sunday's the Super Bowl, but there's a big event in Knoxville this coming Saturday, February 1st. You know what it is? It's at the Knoxville Expo Center on Clinton Highway. It is called the Chocolate Fest. All right? And I know about this. You know how I know about this? I didn't read it in the paper. I didn't hear it on the radio. I didn't see it on the internet. All right, no plane with a sign in the sky. How do I know there's a big chocolate fest at Clinton Highway, Knoxville Expo Center this Saturday? I was told by a nice old man at Weigel's that I don't even know his name. But I was there early this week getting coffee, got a paper. He heard that I got a paper. He was there talking with a cashier, nice older guy. And as I was getting my paper, he said, oh, check the food section. You're a big guy. Check the food section. I said, thank you very much. He was a big guy too. And he said, there's a big chocolate fest this coming Saturday. You're a big guy. I thought you'd want to know. I said, thank you very much. Well, I don't need sweet chocolate. Unless Ann wants to go, then we'll gladly go. $15 and $30 for VIP ticket. That's kind of pricey, though, isn't it, Pat? Here you get something sweet and lasting and no calories. The sweet mercy of God. And the sweet forgiveness that flows from the blood of Jesus for your sins and the sins of the world. And go tell someone that sweet, sweet, sweet good news. Be that man at Weigel's that points them to the sweetest thing, Jesus. Invite them. Bring them. Open your mouth. Be a Christian. Be a part of the crowd. Be a part of this crowd, the Matthew 4 crowd. May we be reminded that we are helpless without Jesus. May we be in a hurry to come and come often. May we know and believe that we are healed of all things by Him, the Son of God. And may we go and invite others that there be a huge crowd. Be a part of the crowd. Amen. Let's stand.